And if you have checked out Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work, the book, which you can in fact download free as a PDF from the Tools or Waking Up pages of the NACENCE website. You will know if you read chapter 2, The Two Winds, that it was on August 26, 1895, that Nikola Tesla harnessed the power of Niagara Falls for full-time commercial use. Quote, and this is a quote from Empires of Light by Jill Johns, which I quoted in the book. The New York Times noted in its small story buried back on the ninth page, quote, "The power from the powerhouse is sent over copper cables laid in a conduit to the aluminum works, which is the first customer of Niagara Power. The current sent is an alternating one, and before it can be used in the making of aluminum, it must be transformed to a direct current. This is done by passing through four of the largest rotary transformers ever built. These are 2,100 horsepower each, and three of them are running. Everything was found to work perfectly, and great satisfaction was expressed by the officers," unquote, from Empires of Light. Science fiction writer H.G. Wells wrote at this time, and this is another quote from Empires of Light, "These dynamos," and this is quoting H.G. Wells, the science fiction writer, "these dynamos and turbines of the Niagara Falls Power Company impressed me far more profoundly than the Cave of the Winds are indeed, to my mind, greater and more beautiful than accidental eddying of air beside a downpour. They are will made manifest, thought translated into easy and commanding things. They are clean, noiseless, starkly powerful. All the clatter and tumult of the early age of machinery is past and gone here." We can actually say that about EMF weapons. "Are past and gone here. There is no smoke, no coal grit, no dirt at all. The wheel pit into which one descends has an almost cloistered quiet about its softly humming turbines. These are altogether noble masses of machinery, huge, black, slumbering monsters, great sleeping tops that engineer irresistible forces in their sleep. A man," and he's speaking of Nikola, "a man goes to and fro quietly in the long, clean hall of the dynamos. There's no clangor, no racket. All these great things are as silent, as wonderfully made, as the heart in a living body, and stouter and stronger than that. I fell into a daydream of the coming power of men, and how that power may be used by them." Unquote from H.G. Wells, quoted in Empires of Light. I think it's safe to assume that most of those who clustered around Nikola, at least by 1895, if not earlier, were placed there by the state. And by the way, to you baby agents out there, who Prince accurately, as always, termed amateur separatists in race, who might still want an authentic life, please revisit Margaret's discussion of Katherine Johnson's fate in the September 11, 2016 show. Quote from Margaret Cheney, "The year before Katherine Johnson was stricken, she felt her life was meaningless, that her life had been a reflection only of the risks and acts and triumphs of others. Now she felt a stranger to herself, stripped equally of hope and anger. She felt deluded, cheated, and infinitely weary." Unquote. I think we should all consider that our lives are not given us to be consumed by the purposes of others. In short, Power's plan for Nikola erode him bit by bit, like the Black Widow, to take from, absorb, and destroy all at once. And yet, he lives. When you die, will you still be alive? Prince asks. in last December. Continuing with Margaret Cheney, as early as 1898, Tesla had also proposed to manufacturers the production of an automated car which, quote, left to itself, would perform a great variety of operations involving something akin to judgment. But my proposal was deemed chimerical at that time and nothing came from it, unquote. Conceiving of robots as having many uses besides war, he believed their greatest role would lie in peaceful service to humanity. He later described his 1890s activity to Professor B.F. Meisner of Purdue University, quote, I treated the whole field broadly, not limiting myself to mechanisms controlled from distance, but to machines possessed of their own intelligence. Since that time, I had advanced greatly in the evolution of the invention and think that the time is not distant when I shall show an automaton which, left to itself, will act as though possessed of reason and without any willful control from the outside. He's talking about computers. Whatever be the practical possibilities of such an achievement, it will mark the beginning of a new epoch in machines, unquote. He added, I would call your attention to the fact that while my specification above mentioned shows the automatic mechanism as controlled through a simple tuned circuit, I've used individualized control. That is, one based on the cooperation of several circuits of different periods of vibration, a principle which I'd already developed at that time and which was subsequently described in my patents 723188 and 725605 of March and April 1903. The machine was in this form when I made demonstrations with it in 1898. Before the chief examiner of patents, Seeley, prior to the grant of my basic patent on method of and apparatus for controlling mechanisms at a distance, unquote. And next week we will finish this story from the chapter Robots, and then the following week read return to chapter 16, ridiculed, condemned, and combated in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time.